Well, I ask an interest in your prayers again. So look in the Scriptures. For the last several weeks, we've been dealing with the subjects concerning the lead-up to Easter Sunday. Today will, the Lord's help, be another one of those. We've talked about the significance of the Israelites making their exodus from the land of Egypt. Egypt was a type of sin. We talked about the Passover, how important it was for them to follow the instructions that God gave to Moses concerning the Passover lamb. Now, the death angel was to pass through the land of Egypt. There was to be the death of the firstborn of man and beast throughout the land. Whoever did not have the blood of the Passover lamb over their doorposts and the lintels of the building, the firstborn, man and beast, died in that home. At that occasion, the cry was so great throughout the land of Egypt that Pharaoh said, "Get out. Get away." And they left. The Israelites left. Talked about the gods of Egypt, how important it is to separate ourselves from the gods of Egypt. Egypt, again, being a type of sin, the gods of sin, separating ourselves from those things, not worshiping those gods. Talked about how the Israelites came up against that Red Sea. There was no way for them to cross. And that God made a miraculous delivery for them. Talked about the cloud, the pillar of cloud, that stood between the Israelites and the Egyptians, and how that it was the guiding force for the Israelites, and how that the Lord removed Himself from the cloud and turned around and faced backward. Instead of leading, He turned around and looked back upon the Egyptian army. And what an awful scene that was for that Egyptian army. The lightnings, the thunderings, the arrows, as the Scripture talks about, from the sky. In the commentaries, the hailstones, whatever, all that was unleashed, the fury of God and the fury of nature unleashed upon those Egyptians and Pharaoh and his army. And when that sea collapsed upon them, they were in total disarray as they were trying to cross that path. God made miraculous deliverance for His people. And so it is for you and me when we come up against things in life, and if you have not, you will. You'll come up against things in life where it seems that there is absolutely no passage, and that the enemy, it looks as though the enemy is there and he is going to destroy. But there is a God who is in control, and He is fully capable of exercising His authority to redeem His people and His children. Folks, that's what we want. Our main purpose should be to be a child of God, so we can receive the benefits of the Lord's provision for us. Last Sunday we talked about John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was the one who came before Christ, preparing the way for Christ. He was the forerunner. He said, "There is one after me who is before me. There is one that comes after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to touch, unloose the latchets of his shoes." And he said when Jesus came the day after he had been baptized, he came to John the Baptist and he said, John the Baptist's words were, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world." All that Christ did to have redemption, to buy redemption for you and me, we talked about that some last Sunday, and all the things that Christ went through. Today, as best I can understand from the time frames that I have looked at, on March 25th, today, and the timeline of Passion Week, March 25th, then, March 25th, today, Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is the day that Jesus made His entry to Jerusalem. He rode on a donkey, you remember, right? And I want us to talk about that a little bit today, and I would like to encourage you this week. And I know it's something that we should think about more often than that. But I'd like for you to think about this week. If you have the opportunity, which I suppose everyone in here, at least adults, do, to do just a little bit of research of the timeline of the Passion Week of Christ. Today being Palm Sunday, now that our Lord is making an entrance into Jerusalem. Wednesday, the day that we have designated, the Lord spares time for us to have an ordinance service, was a day that was pretty quiet in the Gospels. Not much said about the events that day. But there was a lot that was taking place in the time frame of the last week of Jesus. And if you actually look at all the things that were taking place, Jesus was a busy, busy man the last few days of His life. Lots of instruction that He gave. He spent hours with His disciples. He had many parables that He gave. And it was all coming down to a crescendo of when He was going to be crucified and leave this world. It would no longer be working in the form and the mode that He was at this point. But He was about to work in a different mode, in a different form. John the Baptist says, "I baptize you with water. But there comes one after me who baptized with the water and the Spirit." And the Spirit. Thank God, folks, we live in a dispensation where God's Holy Spirit has been turned loose for humanity to be able to partake of. Jesus made that possible. That middle wall of partition was broken down when Jesus was crucified on that cross, when He said, "It is finished." The Scripture tells us that the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, signifying access to the most holy place. I'd like to turn, if you will, to the book of Revelation. And we'll pick up a couple of verses here. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb." If you notice in your Bibles, that is a capital L. "Stood before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Now, as I understand, the palm being used to be break the branches off of the palm trees, they would wave the palm fronds, was a token, a symbol of victory and peace. Victory and peace. So in this, we find that they had palms in their hands, which is an indication to me of victory. They were enjoying having a victory from the Lord. It says there was a number which no man could number, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, with white robes and palms in their hands. Victory. We want to be a part of that crowd, folks. We want to be a part of that crowd. We're not going to literally in heaven have palm fronds in our hands. But it's a symbolism that there is victory in the Lord Jesus. And to be able to make it through this life, to be able to traverse life and make it through all of the things that are in it, all of the components, the ingredients that life has to throw at you, all of the potholes, all of the roadblocks, the afflictions, the trials, the tragedies that life has, along with its triumphs and its joys, any of those, folks, have the potential to cause us to be derailed. We can get so caught up in the joys and the triumphs of life that we get careful and we are easy, and we forget how serious we ought to take it. We can get caught up in the trials and the triumphs and the potholes and the roadblocks, all of those things, and they can cause us, the roadblocks and potholes can cause us to be discouraged and quit. Those are all potential things. But what we want to do is we want to be able to make it through this life. And I hear the Lord, the words of the Lord, where He says, "Well done, thou faithful servant." I'm going to speak for myself here in my own imagination, in my mind. I meditate on these kinds of things, think about it. And I think what it's going to be to stand before the Lord and hear Him say those words, "Well done." Now, I don't know how all that scene is going to play out, but in my own fanciful imagination, I can imagine me standing there, and if the Lord is willing to say, "Well done," for me to stand there and say, "You mean it?" With all of the things that I had to deal with, the times that I know that I was weak, the times that I know that I spoke out of turn, the times that I know that I had failure, and I would come to You, Lord, and I would say, "Will You help me and will You forgive me?" Go to my fellow man and say, "Will You help me and will You forgive me?" And to be able to hear You say, "Well done. You mean it, Lord? You really mean it? Well done." We have that hope. We have that hope. Yes, if I'm able to hear the Lord say, "Well done," I'll have a palm frond in my hand too. Victory and peace. Victory and peace. They cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Do you think, folks, if we make it, we'll be singing and crying salvation to God? It's not me. I don't have the ability to save my soul. You don't have the ability to save your soul. Our only hope is salvation through the blood of the Lamb. Victory and peace. Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, "Go ye into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, 'The Lord hath need of them,' and straightway He will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass.' The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches from the trees, palm trees, that's what the Gospel of John says in chapter 12, and strawed them in the way." John chapter 12 says they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him, cried, "Hosanna." The horse, as opposed to the ass or the donkey or the mule, the horse was an emblem of war. To pull the chariots, they were emblems of war, and this was a different emblem. This was an emblem of a donkey, or the ass was an emblem of peace. When Jesus told His disciples to go into the city, into the village, and you will find this little, you'll find this donkey, this ass, this mule, and the colt tied, you bring them. That's what I'm going to ride in on. So they rode in. They brought those to the Lord, and he rode in, and the people, seeing him coming. Now, I would say to you that there was a vast multitude of people with different thoughts and ideas in mind. Here comes the king. Here comes our king. He's finally come to Jerusalem. He's finally come, and now it is time for him to claim his kingdom. And he's going to set up his kingdom, and we're going to be his subjects, and we're finally going to get this yoke of Roman rule off of us that we've carried for so long. It's finally going to be good. It's finally going to be all right. But Jesus didn't come on a horse. All of these things, folks, are done for a purpose, for a reason. The way the Scriptures did it, the way Jesus did it, the way God ordained it at establishment, sends a message to His followers. When Jesus was being betrayed, when they had come to arrest Him, you remember the account where Peter drew his sword and took off Malchus' ear. I do not believe that Peter was trying to make a surgical cut to take off Malchus' ear. I believe that Peter had every intention of splitting his skull, and that Malchus was able to make some type of an evasive move and only had his ear cut off. Jesus reached out with his hand, took the ear. He restored. They that use the sword will perish with the sword. My kingdom is not of this world. If it was, then my servants would fight. He came to bring a kingdom, folks, set up a kingdom that was so much greater than any kind of earthly kingdom could ever be. I want to encourage you this day. If this world gets so dark and so bleak that they have burned every Bible and every image, every mention, every thought of God, or Jesus is taken away from us, they might take all of this away from you. But they can't take that kingdom out of your heart. That is the kingdom that Jesus came to establish. He rode into Jerusalem that day on a donkey, on a mule, or an ass. He rode in not on a horse, not triumphant like that, but he came in lowly and meek. Not trying to cause a big stir, not trying to say I'm coming here to conquer, but He did come to conquer. He didn't come to conquer physical things, He came to conquer the spiritual things. He came to conquer the ideas, He came to conquer principalities and powers. He came to conquer those things. He came to give us an opportunity to be a part of a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. Thank the Lord. Picking up down in verse 9 of 21 Matthew. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Hosanna! Oh, save now! Save now! And still I believe that there were many who were misguided in their thinking that day, saying, save now! He's coming to deliver us. He's coming to save us now. Yes, He came to save. He has come to save. He's come to save you, save your soul. Oh, save now! Hosanna, that's what that word means. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? The multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. Turn to the book of Zechariah. Chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9, second to last book of the Old Testament. Chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Rejoice. Not with the world's joy. Not with the joy that comes from being a victor in triumph over your enemies physically. Not with joy because you've had successes in life. Not with joy because you have a fine job and fine clothes and fine home and fine automobile. Not because you have soft things in life. Not rejoicing because of those things. Not with the world's joy. But rejoice because you have the things of God that have been made available to you and you have them in your heart. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. O shout! Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Scripture says, He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but which is one inwardly. Daughter of Jerusalem, there is something, folks, that you and I have to praise God for and to shout about. When we think of all that God made available to us through Jesus Christ, and Him coming into that city this day, on the donkey, on the colt, the palm fronds thrown in the road, Him sitting on the garments on this little donkey of the disciples who put their coats on Him for Him to sit on. He came that day with triumph and victory. Thank the Lord, folks. And He came with peace and with power. He came that day to institute something that was so vastly different than what men were used to. David, is my understanding, David had a mule that he rode upon. And he wanted to give opportunity for his son Solomon to ride upon that mule. When David was transferring the kingdom from himself to his son, he said, "Go get my mule." It was something that was of significance. Now we can look at that today, folks, and say, a mule? A dignitary riding a mule? A dignitary riding a donkey? We have such vastly different thinking in our world today. We look at that as being something that is lowly. It's useless. It's worthless. In the Bible time, in those days, David, King David, had a mule that he rode upon, and he said, "I want Solomon to ride my mule." Anyone else that would ride the king's mule without permission? Death. Absolute death. In the book of Judges, chapter 5, Judges chapter 5, verse 10, "Speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way." And in chapter 12 of Judges, in verse 14, verse 13 and 14, "And after him, Abdon, the son of Hillel, Parathonite, judged Israel. He had 40 sons and 30 nephews that rode on 70 ass colts. He judged Israel 8 years." You see, there was a significance to riding on these little donkeys and ass colts and mules. There was a significance to that. Much of that had been lost because mankind had transferred their thinking into things that seemed to be so much more mighty and of significance to them. The horse, to pull the chariot. Now, when you see a mule, and you watch a mule walk and work, they're very deliberate and slow, getting the job done. A horse prance. Lift his feet ever so high. Look so sharp and nice and sleek and slick. They can get the job done with proper training. But the mule. You see, in our minds today, there would be those here in the building who have had maybe some experience with the mule. And would say, "You give me a mule over a horse any day." Why? Because they're deliberate. Can trust them better than a horse. But in our minds, folks, how do we turn things around? We would look at the horse as being a show, a sign of authority and grandeur. And the mule, if I set two outside the door and had them both saddled up and said, "Which one do you want to ride?" And I had a nice slick horse there and I had a nice long-eared mule, which one do you think most people are going to pick? Humanity. Very likely we're going to pick the horse. The mule, the old long-eared mule, and all the braying noises that he makes, is something that, in our minds, folks, we can get things turned upside down. But remember, on Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus made His entry into the city of Jerusalem, He came riding a donkey. And the people looking on took off their garments, threw them in the street, waved palm fronds, cut them off of trees and laid them down for Jesus to ride over and ride upon. And yes, He did come in that day with victory. And yes, He did come in that day with power. And yes, He did come in that day with peace. What are the words of the Lord? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As human beings, we transpose things so much in our minds about what's great and what's good and what's mighty and what's powerful. The Scripture there in Zechariah says, He is just, having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass, lowly. And you know how He did when He stood before Pilate, when He was being accused, falsely accused of all these things. And Pilate was taking Him to task over those things. And finally He said, "Don't you know that I have power to destroy you? I have power to save your life?" He said, "You could have no power at all, except My Father gave it to you." I want to encourage you this week, over these next few days, spend some time meditating on what the Lord has done for us. Spend some time looking at the Scriptures of the things that Jesus did in these last few days, culminating in what we're going to be enjoying on this next Sunday, if the Lord will spare time, Easter Sunday. We realize that Friday, it's called Good Friday. It's the Friday that our Lord was crucified. It's the Friday that He was put to death for your sins and mine. It's the day that looked like absolute defeat in the eyes of men. But remember, it's too easy for us to transpose things in our minds and get them backwards. And what looked like absolute defeat was absolute triumph. What looked like there was no hope for humanity, what looked like, and you remember how the disciples were walking along the way after the crucifixion, they said, "We had hoped. We had hoped." The truth of the matter is, the one that brought the hope was standing right there with them when they said those words, "We had hoped." And here's the one that had been crucified and had been raised from that tomb, walking there with them. "We had hoped." Thank God for the hope that we have and the opportunity we have through a Lord and Savior that brought something so vastly different than what mankind is still thinking today in many ways, and still looking for a literal kingdom to be set up on this earth. I'll say to their disappointment, it's not coming. The kingdom of God is within you. May God help us each one. Thank you for your time and attention this morning. God bless. Amen.